Hello, ladies and gents. Hello, welcome to another edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely, which is powered by LWIM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. This is your servant, Giovanni Del Cristo, and I am the youth leader of said ministry. And with me, as always, is pastor of Living Word Church and my father, Jesus Martinez.
Thank you, Gio, for another opportunity to share the gospel. And I also want to thank the people because I've started to receive letters and calls saying thank you for the podcast. So we appreciate your kindness, your kind words, and we hope that you will continue to follow us as we strive to teach God's word, especially relevant topics, because we are definitely living in the information age, but not all the information that is out there is good information.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that we debuted this podcast, is because we saw that there was a lack of good information, sound biblical doctrine. Some people might question and say, well, how is that even possible with so many people doing so many podcasts and so many people writing blogs? Well, a lot of times what those things venture into is into more personal opinions than they do about just dissemination of sound biblical doctrine. And one of the things that we wanted to do with this podcast, and we do it also with the Spanish podcast, Moments of Reflection, is basically to give people a biblical understanding, to give people a proper biblical worldview, and to make sure that they edify themselves on the sound biblical doctrine, not just give them mere opinions, because opinions are opinions. They can lead you astray if you allow them to. But if we always go back to Scripture, we're assured that we're not going to fall.
I'm all for information. It's a great time to be alive and to preach the gospel. But recently I was asked to take a look at a video of this young singer. She's not that young anymore, now that I think about it. Anyway, she goes on to say in a women's conference that Adam was the only one that was kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And so I wrote a small Q&A section on the magazine that we put out on a weekly basis saying, you know, she's got to be kidding. She's basically exonerating Eve from maybe not all, but most of the culpability that she had in this issue. And I go on to state they were both guilty. Yeah. And so I bring that into the conversation, Gio, because of what you were saying. This is definitely the information age, but some of the stuff that is out there is wildfire.
Yeah. Well, and the problem is, I'll tell you what I've also noticed, and I know you've noticed it also. A lot of times we become followers of men instead of followers of God. And you see that a lot in a lot of Christian circles. You see people saying, well, you know, I love John MacArthur, and I love James McDonald, and I love R.C. Sproul. And they start tagging out names, whoever you want to put there, John Piper, whoever, you know, Rick Warren. And people don't notice that they become followers of men, and they hang on every single word and phrase that comes out of these people's mouths without examining, doing due diligence, what their task is. And they should do as Christians is to study these things on a daily basis to see whether these things are so. In other words, it lets us know as individuals if we have the Scripture as our ultimate authority or if we do not. And a lot of Christians nowadays, they hang on every word of preachers and stuff. And you and I have said this before from the pulpit. I know you've said it from my personal testimony. You've said it, and I've said it to the youth group on tons of occasions. Don't take this because I'm saying this. Anything and everything I say always has to be checked back with the Scriptures, because the Scriptures will not let us go astray. God has promised us that. We have to do what the Bereans did. Go on a daily basis to search if these things are so. But a lot of Christians aren't doing that nowadays.
In Spanish, we have a word that describes that. It's called facilismo. And it means I'll let somebody else do the difficult work, and then whatever he or she comes up with, if it sounds good, I'll believe it. And that's facilismo, it's an ism. And it means basically let somebody else do the hard work, and then I'll go ahead and follow that. The problem with that is if the person gets it right, hey, 100 points to you. But if they get it wrong, then you go down with them. And I don't think I want to be in that place before God where I tell them, well, I was following these guys.
But you know, isn't that a byproduct of our society? You were preaching about that a few weeks ago, where our society tries to give you the instantaneous fix, the quick fix.
Yes.
And therefore, in essence, the work has already been done for you. It's already been chewed. It's already been digested. And in essence, people say, and they sit back and say to themselves, well, I don't have to do any of the work, when God says, no, wait a minute, you have to do this work for yourself.
Study to show yourself approved.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that leads us into our main topic for today's podcast. I recently wrote an article, which was, I'm happy to say, I'm proud to say that this was partly inspired by a sermon that you had brought on making sure that we always go to God first.
Yes.
In our society, and this is something that you were mentioning when you were preaching about this, in our society, people tend to lean. They tend to depend and trust on human beings for quick fixes, for the instantaneous patch job or the bandage for the bandage for the solution that I need for the now, because I can't wait until tomorrow. I can't wait until 5 minutes from now. I need it now. As a matter of fact, I need it yesterday. And therefore, you have a plethora of people coming out, like the Tony Robbins of life, saying, wait a minute, I've got the instantaneous solution for you. Oprah Winfrey, the people that promoted The Secret, they've made themselves supremely famous and have filled their coffers with the, quote, message of instantaneous gratification and solutions.
You're talking about the life coaches.
Exactly. They've made themselves famous with this stuff. I mean, we're talking about even people in this situation who call themselves Christians, and I don't want to judge his salvation in particular, but look at an individual like Dave Ramsey, who says he's a Christian, and I don't want to put it in doubt, his salvation, I don't want to judge that. But he's made himself really famous even through Fox News and the Fox Business Network saying, I can, you know, you come to my seminars and you do these things and we'll put your financial house in order if you listen to what I have to say and read my books and so on and so forth. I mean, crazy, crazy things. But in essence, you were talking about how people lean on other human beings and other ideologies instead of first going to God. I'd like for you to expound a little bit on what are the dangers of doing so. And we'll use a prime example of this once you finish in Daniel.
Well, it's very simple. We are a society that is accustomed, is now very, very used to having quick solutions. We have technology. We have information. We have the ability to go from one place to another, tap sources, resources. And so once you get used to this, slowly but surely God, you know, he gets sent to the back burner. What happens is you get so used to that, that after a while, God doesn't even appear in the scene of your life. Nevertheless, issues will come up in your life where human wisdom, your contacts, that readily available solution is no longer there for you. And then you try to muster, you know, you try to muster up this quick faith and this quick relationship with God, and it doesn't work. And so what happens in a situation like that, now you're in a very, very difficult spot, and you're really approaching God with this song and dance that says, I want to have a relationship with you, but it's not true. All you want is a solution. And God will resolve many issues in your life and give you a helping hand if you want to state it that way. But at the end of the day, what he really wants with you and from you is a relationship.
Yeah.
And so when you try to fake a relationship just to get a solution, God cannot be mocked. He knows exactly what you're all about. So, Gio, the danger is that you get used to the quick solutions that we have readily available to us, and then all of a sudden something hits you, something strikes you that you no longer have that solution. And you go like, okay, I'll go to God. But you cannot get that solution from God on a perpetual basis, because he would be feeding your error, and that is you turning him into a bank account, you turning him into someone who is just there to resolve your issues. Yeah. At the end of the day, he wants a relationship. Yeah. And if he continues to say, okay, here's my answer, okay, I'm going to intervene once again, and he never cuts that, then he's enabling you to continue just using him, if you will, instead of saying enough. Because what you and I need to have is a relationship.
Yeah, it's like a parental figure. At one point or another, you see a lot of parents that what they do is that they continually feed their children's error, because the children go to them just for the things that they need and not to have a relationship with the parents. And eventually when the parents keep giving them these things because they think in their own minds, you know, I'm going to keep my child close to me by providing them with these things, with these material goods, the temporal goods and whatnot, they're doing a disservice. Because instead of being a parent, they're trying to be a friend, like the society tells us that we should be. Be a friend to your kids. Don't be a parent. But what our generation needs is parents, not friends. They have plenty of friends that influence them to do things that they shouldn't do.
Absolutely.
But going back on what you were talking about, our prime example for this, and in the article that I had written, is Daniel. When you look at Daniel, there are two things that stand out, at least when I read it, from the point of view, not just trying to extract a prophetic message, the awesome prophetic message that we find in Daniel's book, but I find two key elements within Daniel's characteristics that we as Christians need to adopt in our life in order to improve upon our relationship with God and make us people who are totally dedicated to Jesus Christ. And number one, I find that Daniel was a man who sought God continually first before anything else. Daniel went to God first before he went to any other entity. As a matter of fact, let me correct myself. He went to God and that's it. He didn't go to anyone else.
Main source, only source.
Exactly.
And he was trained in many sciences. Nevertheless, when the issues arrived, he knew exactly where to go.
Exactly. And then the second characteristic, outstanding characteristic that I find in Daniel is that he was uncompromising.
Yes.
He faced death once and again, once and again, and he was unfazed.
When you take a look at the book of Daniel, when you take a look at Moses, when you take a look at Abraham, when you take a look at John, you find, Gio, that the quality of their ministry is almost linked to the quality of their relationship with the Father, with God, and the quality of their heart, the development, the growth of their heart. And so today we look at greatness in ministry, and I hate to use that word, but somehow I have to use it, or otherwise maybe I won't get my point across. When we look at greatness in ministry today, we look at numbers. And that is so wrong, because what really brings forth quality ministry, as we look at Moses and we look at Daniel and we look at the prophet Isaiah and we look at Abraham, what brings about greatness in ministry, not greatness in politics, because we also have some, you know, issues of government and politics in the Bible, which is very clearly narrated, but I'm talking about greatness in ministry is the quality of the relationship that these men enjoyed, that they worked hard at to enjoy with God, and then the quality of their hearts, because they allowed God to be Lord and Master of their hearts. And then, you know, this awesome quality and kind of ministry just came forth.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we find in the prophet Daniel, our prime example for today. This is a man who, and we'll get to that in just a second, when Darius was enticed by the satraps and the governors to pass an edict because they wanted to do away with Daniel. What is the first thing he did? He knew that they, you know, he had signed this edict and put the decree in order. What's the first thing he does? He didn't go home and hide.
He held his ground.
He held his ground, opened up the windows, faced towards Jerusalem, and he was praying three times a day like he was accustomed to. This is a man who's uncompromising.
But whatever ground you yield, you lose.
Absolutely, exactly. You'll never gain that back. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that if he can get you via the fear tactics, the intimidation.
Yep.
In essence, you're willing to give up something that God has given us as his children. But let's expound a little bit on this seeking God. We find that Nebuchadnezzar has this dream that is God-given, God-inspired. He forgets it, and God knows what he does. I mean, God is amazing in these things. He forgets it. He calls all of the wise men, all of these people who were into paganistic ideologies and religions, and calls them and says, I want all of my wise men. If one person or many of you can tell me the dream and its interpretation, I will give you the glories. I will give you all of these gifts. But if you don't, in essence, he said, I'm going to cut you. I'm going to cut you, and I'm going to turn your houses into ash heaps. And what happens? These people are saying, maybe if you can tell us the dream. And Nebuchadnezzar said, no, I stand firm on this. You got to tell me the dream, and you have to give me the interpretation. Now, when all of the wise men were about to be put to death, we see that even Daniel and Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they were all facing sudden death. And you see that Daniel was unfazed. Why? Because he trusted in the Lord. He knew that this was divine intervention from God. And he tells the king of the eunuchs, and he tells those that were over him, the captain of the guard, he says, wait a minute, tell the king to give me some time and let me go away. Like you were saying, he was enjoying from that relationship that he had with God, that intimate relationship he had with God. And he said, let me go with God and let me see if he's going to give me this. And God came, he provided, he gives Nebuchadnezzar the dream and its interpretation, and he raised Daniel up. It's the same thing that happened to Joseph. God brings up these oracles, these people in the time of need, and raises them up to these positions so that God can be glorified in all of these things. So we see that instead of, like you were saying, Daniel was a learned individual. This man went through 3 years of Chaldean training. Not only that, he was already trained in Judaic ways. This was a learned individual.
Yes.
First thing he did was he went and he sought for God more than anything else. And we see that God not only approved of this, but he helped him move forward in this situation and brought him up to a higher level.
We see the quality of his heart, the development, before and after the event. Before, we see it with the situation where he said he purposed in his heart not to be contaminated with the portion of the food that was allotted to them, which, by the way, was the meals that they served the king. Hmm. And so before this great event, we see the quality of his heart. Now, this event takes place. And like you said, God just shows up on the scene, shows him the dream, and then shows him the interpretation. And then we see the growth and the development of his heart after the event, in that they were offering all these things. As a matter of fact, the king wanted to worship him and offer sacrifices and stuff. And he basically had to say, you know, stop it. This is not the way it goes down. And so the point, Gio, is that Satan couldn't get him before, couldn't get him during, couldn't get him after.
Yeah.
And once again, once you can establish this in your heart, quality ministry is going to come forth. It's going to come through you. God can use you as a vessel where he can really glorify his name.
Well, you also mentioned something on Sunday, which I'd like to reiterate because it's important. When Daniel presents himself before the king, when he presents himself before Nebuchadnezzar, he made sure to tell him, not twice, but three times, this is not of my own mind. This is not something that comes from my heart. This is not something that came from some paganistic god. This is something that comes from the God, from the only God of the universe. And it's funny that he made that clear, because Daniel wanted to make sure that the true God, the only true God, was glorified in this situation. And it's funny, because after this situation happens, you see Nebuchadnezzar praising God in this situation. He says, whoa, wait a minute, this is the God. Even though, yes, we understand that Nebuchadnezzar had his moments even after that. But at this very moment, Daniel made it clear to everyone within Nebuchadnezzar's court, and even to Nebuchadnezzar himself, that the one who had answered the dream, who gave the dream and gave the interpretation, and all of this allowed this to happen, was God. So we see that not only does Daniel seek God, but we see that he places him in the forefront, like you said, making his ministry much more excellent. Why? Because, again, God is in the forefront, and he's the only source that Daniel alluded to once and again.
I've always looked at the passage where God talks to Abraham and he says, I will make your name great. And especially during my first few years in this walk, why would God, you know, exalt Abraham's name? And to this day, it's probably the second, third most famous name in history, period. Just about everybody recognizes that. And then it becomes very clear once you read the word and you get into God's will for your life. The idea behind that is to raise Abraham so Abraham will speak about the true, the only God, the living God. Hmm. And so I find these things to be very well joined and easy to understand. If we allow God lordship of our lives and to develop our hearts to that quality condition that he wants, quality ministry is going to come forth to you, because God is just going to flow through you.
Well, that's part of the reason that we're seeing, or rather, should I say, the converse is the reason why we're seeing a lot of ministries that are not quality. They're more about the numbers. In other words, they'll appeal to human ego. They'll appeal to human covetousness, to human lust. And this is what they preach about. They if you want to use the terminology, like you've said before, they minister to people's sinfulness. And therefore, people go to these preachers and they go to these so-called ministries because, in essence, they have itching ears. And instead of having that sensation die away by the sound biblical doctrine, which that itching ears can only go away via the sound biblical doctrine, they're constantly going to and fro, listening to different doctrines because, in essence, they're having people appeal to their sinfulness and not to the main issue that needs to be dealt with the sin in and of itself. But they're going to other things.
Well, Satan is a specialist in throwing pressure your way. And that's where you have to be properly grounded and your heart has to be established in God. If not, you're going to compromise.
Yep.
And when you do, the first thing that suffers is the quality in ministry. And then you start looking for ways to draw people, not unto Jesus, but unto yourself. And somehow in your mind and in your heart, you get it mixed up because you tend to think, yeah, I'm drawing them unto Jesus. No, you're drawing them unto yourself. Yeah.
Well, how many times have we seen such and such ministries, Joel Osteen ministries? You know, it's like we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we're following men, we're not following Jesus. And one of the things I guess we can recommend to our listeners, if you notice that there's a constant repetition about the person or the personality, instead of God or of Christ, run away. There is obviously something wrong there. Which leads us to our second and final point about Daniel, and we want to talk about him being uncompromising. We can even throw in Daniel's three friends, Mishael, Azariah, Hananiah. These were three individuals. We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar builds a golden statue and says, everybody has to worship. When the trumpet sounds, when all of the music goes on, the psaltery goes on, everybody has to bow down and worship this thing. And they said, we're not doing it. And he says, look, I'm going to give you guys one more opportunity. And they said, King Neb, we're not going to do it. We're uncompromising in this issue, and we know the rest of the story. The same thing with Daniel. Darius was enticed by the satraps and the governors to sign an edict because the Bible states that Darius, it seems like he was going to place Daniel in this supreme position over all of the governors and the satraps. And they concocted this plot to say, you know what, let's take away Daniel because if not, he's going to be over us and we don't like the idea. And then it says that Daniel knew of the writing and immediately he went home and he opened his windows, faced towards Jerusalem, prayed thrice a day, knowing that the whole edict was you cannot petition any other god or entity other than Darius. And it was basically a nasty situation that was fomented. But what happened? He was uncompromising. He said, I cannot compromise God in my life. I cannot compromise the truth in my life because therefore I'd be doing a disservice to my maker. I'd be doing a disservice to myself. In essence, I'm saying that fear and giving into pressure is much more important than the dissemination of God's truth. But we see that he stood firm. It's something, a quality that we as Christians must develop, especially in this day and age.
And maybe the key word is develop, because I can't sit here and say, well, this is something that everybody has. I think I'd be lying if I said everybody has that and that it's in you from the onset, but I think it can be developed. And once you know how important it is, once you know how important it is to God, then you should say, you know, if this is important to my Heavenly Father, this is something that I want to develop. And you know what? I think I can get him to help me with this, because maybe it's not in you. Maybe you're used to compromise. You know, God knows what has happened in your life and in your background. You saw it in mom, you saw it in dad, you see it in society, and you go, hey, it's natural. And so now you're used to every time there's a little pressure coming your way, you compromise. But all of a sudden you're born again and you start hearing, you know, commentaries and observations like the one we're making, and you go, hey, wait a minute, it's true.
Yeah.
God loves the heart that stays faithful and true. And so I've got to get this issue out of my life. And I think you can seek his face and he will help you to become that person that just stands there like a rock solid. And once you do that, Gio, what I've seen in the Bible over and over again is that God will come through for you.
Yep.
But let's say for whatever reason he chooses not to. Mm-hmm. What happens then?
Well, you have a situation just like Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah said.
Exactly.
Even if God doesn't come through, we're still going to stand strong in his truth.
Exactly.
Because at the same time, you know, God uses those situations for good. These things turn out for good, just like Paul tells us in Romans 8:32. Fine, they might kill me. Jesus says not to fear those that can take away my body now, but fear him that can cast me into hell. You know, him I have to fear. So even in this situation, we find that even via the death, martyrdom, so to speak, God glorifies himself. Why? Because of the dissemination of the gospel. Some people might say, oh yeah, but that's my life. Jesus gave his life for us. So we cannot esteem our own life to be precious. 2 Corinthians 5:15 tells us that we should live for Christ, he who died for us.
Absolutely.
It's very important. I want to thank you again for being with us again on the podcast. It's always a pleasure to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, comments you want to throw our way, please send us those emails, info@lwim.org, info@lwim.org. For Pastor Jesus Martinez, this has been Giovanni Del Cristo saying, until next time, may the Lord shine his face upon you.